Tuesday, July 15th, Public Works Committee meeting to order. President is Alderman Cornelius, Alderman Solling, Alderman Clocher, Alderman Transier is absent. We have city staff and Marlis are minute taker. Seeing no citizens and comments here, and nobody online. Move along to minutes for approval.
We get a different background.
I don't control that. We'll take the minutes as presented. New business, item number one, PW 2025-65. Resolution approving a change order to a contract to construct a 1.5 million gallon standpipe in water main.
All right, so last month, city council approved the contract to CB&I to construct the standpipe for the south receiving station area. And at the time when we had some discussion, we did note the potential change order coming, and here it is for your consideration. So it is a potential reduction of $384,400. So certainly we are in support of that. There's two things that basically go into this net reduction. One is a modification of the guarantee. So it's standard in a public works contract to have a one-year guarantee after it's substantially complete. Originally, we had a three-year guarantee in there because we were going, the tank would be built and then would be sitting idle until such time DWC connected, and then we were able to fill it, you know, make sure everything was in order, and then put the tank online. Since we originally bid the project, we've been in discussions with Eric and his team. We're actually going to put it online sooner, as soon as we get the Route 126 water main in, which should be built through the wintertime. And as soon as the tank is built, we're going to put that tank online. So therefore, we don't need to sync up with DWC, so we can reduce that warranty down to a more standard one-year time frame. So a decent reduction there. excuse me, the second item CB&I came back with was a alternative design in the tank thickness for the steel. So you know, after bid, you know, we had some conversations with them, and they ran some numbers. Their structural folks ran some calculations and then came back with a suggestion. So it still meets the required standards and you know, still structurally sound. However, you know, based on their new calculations, they provided an alternative design. Basically, it's a little bit thicker, less thicker steel, still appropriate for a standpipe, but a fairly substantial savings. I think they referenced about 50 tons worth of steel being saved, so roughly $242,000. So yeah, those two items add up to the $384,400. We certainly support and recommend the city considering the change order.
Any questions?
I think it's still too heavy not to be piloted, huh?
You know, we've been asking that question to them. They have not fully answered that.
Okay.
So, you know, I know they're still looking at it.
Yeah, at least they're still looking at it again.
My question was, if we're looking 50, 60 years down the road, not having the thicker steel, are we looking at potential problems?
I don't, I don't think so. No, I mean, it's immaterial, you know. The steel is rather thick on these projects anyway, and then with the appropriate coating system on it, these tanks are built to last 100 years plus.
I would say the coating more than the steel. You know that too. Yeah. As soon as that goes away, like if they wanted to take the mil specs down on the coating,
it is a 25-year coating system that's on this particular tank, and certainly if it's done right, that should certainly last that long, and then I'm sure the city will maintain its infrastructure into the future and properly maintain it.
Any questions?
Nope.
Anybody else? Move that along to city council. Item number two, PW 2025-66, Illinois Railway License Agreement, East Alley Water Main Replacement Project.
All right, yeah, the next two agenda items are similar. So we have several railroad crossings that we're trying to do with water main replacement projects. So the East Alley project, we're actually getting ready to go out to bid, and we'll bring this to the Public Works Committee next month, the actual bid. But we are crossing underneath the railroad, therefore we need a license agreement to do so. That's common when you cross railroads. And the agreement is in the packet. It's been vetted by Kathy. And there is a one-time license fee of $4,400 that's noted in our memo, and we certainly recommend moving forward with the agreement.
Questions?
It's the railroad.
You okay to put that on consent?
Yeah. Okay. Both of them, actually.
Yeah, agree. Same thing, PW 2025-67, another license agreement.
Yeah, these are actually four separate license agreements because we have four crossings as part of the 25 replacement project. So that's one of the IPA loan projects, which we now have the loan agreement with, and recently had a pre-construction meeting, so that project's moving toward construction toward the end of this month. So we have four crossings, slightly less fee per crossing of $3,700. They're basing it off of the casing pipe size, for whatever reason, that's what they're doing. So the total would be $14,800 for four crossings.
Move that line of consent as well. Item number four, the one I was excited for.
Yeah.
PW 2025-68 sewer cleaning truck purchase.
I tried to put a lot of information in the memo. We demonstrated three different units, and we currently have a VACCON unit, and we've had a VACCON unit for 20 years. This particular unit that we've had the last 10 years, we've had some issues with. We've had some maintenance, not maintenance on our end, maintenance on their end issues, and we've had some mechanical breakdowns that we did not think that should be worn out at that time. So we demonstrated their newest truck. It's the same technology as the old truck. And then we demonstrated two trucks that are a single engine truck with hydraulic pumps. That seems to be the way of the future. Instead of having two giant engines on the truck to run the units. And then we also put it to our guys. We asked the people that actually run it to rate what they liked, what they disliked, and which truck they wanted. And they all went with the Vactor truck. We have used them before for different things. They've been around forever. They're the ones that rep standard equipment, reps Elgin sweepers. They just moved out of Chicago to, I believe, Elmhurst? Elmhurst. And the Vactor units are built right in LaSalle, Peru. So it's all local. We know it's a huge expense. That's why we went through all three trucks. That's why we demonstrated all three trucks. And it's a 10-year purchase, and we know this, and we take that very seriously. I would be happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Is 10 years basically the lifespan for these things?
Usually we kind of put those in with the big trucks because we use them so hard, and they're in such nasty environment that 10 years is about what you're going to get out of them before they really start needing repairs.
Rehashing in the memo, and this was all well within your budget specs?
Well, it was a slightly over by $35,000, but we had saved money on the Blackberry Creek lift station generator replacement, so we can take that money and use it and still be within budget. And that does get us the sludge pump and the lighting we'd asked for as well.
You mentioned earlier that this style of truck is sort of more the wave of the future. Like, is it just more efficient? Or?
Yeah, quieter, a little more efficient, and less maintenance. There's not two giant diesel motors on the truck. Now, there's hydraulic pump, which we're used to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just creates the pressure, and that's what drives it. But there's not just a second engine sitting on there.
Right.
Do you see the hydraulics being a problem in the winter?
No. That truck, goes out in emergencies only in the winter, and we winterize it, and we keep it in a heated shop.
Our plow trucks are all hydraulic.
Yeah, yeah, they are too.
And once it gets that pressure on them, they're hot anyway.
You have questions?
No.
Okay. Then we will move that along to City Council.
Thank you.
Item number 5, PW 2025-69, Cannonball Estates SSA plan.
Yeah, I was contacted by the remaining HOA board member a few months ago. Basically, they let me know that they weren't going to be doing any more maintenance in the subdivision, that none of the other board members still existed, and that they were turning over the maintenance to us. Took us a fair amount of time to just research where the SSA was. We did confirm that it's in place, so basically we can start doing the maintenance and file a levy whenever we want. And so I had Eric mock up a maintenance budget for the subdivision. It's intentionally on the high end, just to make sure that we're not communicating one number and then have the bids come in, you know, obviously higher. And so want to just talk through the process of notifying every resident subdivision that we've been notified that the HOA is defunct. Giving them the estimate of what they would pay on the high end if the city had to take over the maintenance, and then giving them an opportunity basically to reform the HOA and continue to do the maintenance. So it's a two-part agenda item, just making sure that one, you're okay with the budget, and then two, with the process. The only thing that's changed from the memo since it was published was the mayor wanted to make sure that we were adequately covering our staff time in administering the SSA. So that is not reflected in here. So Eric and I will take a look at that, probably update it slightly based on the amount of hours you know, we think it takes per year to do that. And then we'll update the budget accordingly for City Council. So that's it. If anybody has any questions, happy to answer them.
Does the SSA have an expiration date on it?
No, I don't believe so. There is a limit as to how high it can go. Off the top of my head, I don't remember if it's like $1.10 per EAV or if there's a hard dollar amount cap. But that's usually the limiting factor, is that like 80 years from now or something, you know, you might be tapped out as to what you can collect versus the maintenance budget. But that's a problem for 80 years from now.
So seeing what White Oaks goes through with their pond maintenance, are we confident we're budgeting enough?
That's what we, this is a real okay. number that we use with our other ponds in Sunflower.
Okay.
And they're having a lot of work done to it this year. I believe that the remaining board member had given the okay for, I believe it was NCAP, to do the work on the pond. Yeah.
Questions?
That's correct, yep.
You good? Okay, we'll move that along to City Council.
Hey, Craig?
Yes.
One thing I want to clarify, does this include the outlots along, or the, it's actually not the outlot. I know it includes the stormwater basin, but does it include the easements along Alice and Cannonball, or have we intentionally excluded that and plan to notify the residents that they'll need to continue maintaining the rear yards? What's the plan for that?
I believe it's included in that maintenance. Eric, is that how you scoped it?
That is correct. I used all of the area. That's yeah. that's the biggest area, actually.
Okay. I would just say, when we send a letter for notification, I don't know if we want to give them the option to, hey, if you guys want to keep this cost down a little bit, you maintain your private backyards instead of the association city taking care of those areas. The last resident finally mowed the lot, which was about a week and a half ago. The other ones had all kind of fell in line over the past several months. So that's just my thought, is we want to look at those rear yard areas as compared to just the pond and see, you know, are they willing to take care of their properties since it is private property with the easement.
I guess my sense would be to figure out what the response is from the residents first, and then we can, you know, go down that path depending on their response.
That works. So the first part is sending notice to them, right?
It, Yes.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
And I figure we'll give them, you know, 30 or 45 days or something. Like, we're not in a hurry here, so.
Okay, we'll move that along to City Council. Sorry, Chris, I forgot you were there.
All right, pay attention.
Moving on, old business, PW 2025-62, resolution approving an engineering agreement with EEI for the 2025 stormwater basin inspections.
This will be quick. I have not talked to the mayor yet, so this one could be pushed another month.
Alrighty. Okay. Any additional business?
I have none.
Chris, you all good?
Is there any reason it's being pushed?
Yeah, the mayor just wants to talk through how we do the inspections, what the follow-ups are, you know, what the maintenance plans are, you know, the list of scrub trees, all those things. He just wants to understand it in full before he signs off on it.
Okay, so we're still looking to pursue it. We just want to make sure that the scope of everything is correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris, you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, then we can call it.
Thank you.
Thank you.